So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into our sermon today and let God speak to us and continue to worship him. Father God, we are very thankful. First of all, thankful for the ways in which you have worked in our lives. Specifically, God, you have worked in the lives of our teenagers over the last couple of weeks with middle school camp, and then again this week in high school camp. And we are so very thankful for what you did in the worship, in the messages that were spoken and that the kids got to listen to, and in cabin times, and just the whole entire week, God, you were evident and you were working. And we rejoice knowing, God, that one of our teenagers was baptized while at camp, and what a joy that is to celebrate that and to know, God, that you are working not only in their life, but in all the lives of the teens that went. And so, God, we're grateful for what you have done and how you are working. Thank you, God, for those silent times that you are just challenging and encouraging the kids at camp. God, I believe that you have done something wonderful and truly life-changing in these kids. And sometimes we won't be able to see it for years in advance, but we know, God, that you have done a great work. And for those of us that didn't go to camp, we are thankful that you also are speaking in our lives as well. You speak to us through your word that we engage with every day. You speak to us in our interactions with others because, God, we know that we have an opportunity to spur one another on, to encourage one another. And, God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see the ways in which we can interact with you and with others for your kingdom purposes, for your glory, and for your work to be done in not only our lives, but in the lives of those that we interact with. So thank you, God, for that. And Father, as we embark on another week, we realize that there are things that are going on that we need to seek you for those appointments, for those days at work that are long and difficult, for those moments where we are just out of patience. God, will you strengthen? Will you fill us with your patience? Will you also be with us when we have conversations, when we have to make decisions? God, will you allow us to see your face in those things? Give us an enormous amount of wisdom as we interact with you this week. And for those that have appointments like doctors and things like that, God, will you just calm any nerves or any anxiousness that we might feel? God, we put ourselves at your feet, at the foot of the cross, where the ground is level, and we just know, Lord, that you are willing and able to work in our lives. But we desire to be at your feet so that you can work. We lay down our burdens to you and ask God that we would have the wisdom to not pick them up again, even though we want to leave them at your feet and let you work, God. So we're thankful for all of this. Lord, we love you. We give you praise and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today is the last day of this sermon series. How exciting is that? That we've gone 6 weeks in a sermon series. Maybe you don't get excited about it as much as I do, but I get excited when we come to the end of a sermon series because then that means something new is going to be starting at some point in time, and that is just really cool. Plus, we get just the great opportunity to know that God has done some amazing work in this series. I think he has, and I hopefully not just in my life, but hopefully in your life as well. So we're talking about this One Another series. Not that I need any more coffee today, but every now and then just need a little sip. But we've walked 5 weeks through this series, and my hope for you has been that you would receive the encouragement that you need to remind us of the importance of a couple of things, an importance of the relationships that we have. To be able to be a part of the vertical relationship, that is the relationship that we have with God, and to be able to do that and to have that relationship be vital and important is really, really key. And without doing that, we can't really do the horizontal relationship either. So with that in mind, we have a responsibility horizontally. That means with each other, one another, obviously, right there. So when we talk about this and when we look at what we've accomplished over the last 5 weeks, we were challenged to spur one another on. And that is not to like to beat one another or to push them or to do anything, but to challenge one another on to love and good works. We talked about encouraging one another. We talked about being devoted to one another. I mean, this is devotion to the point where we don't give up on people. We honor one another, and then we live in harmony with one another. And that harmony is very much like music in the sense that we are working together, complementing one another. And we talked about what it means to bear with one another, especially when someone that we have a relationship with has gotten into maybe sin, or they're dealing with a situation that is very difficult, or maybe they've just kind of lost their way for a little bit. How do we bear with one another? And then last week we talked about washing one another's feet. That is not necessarily actually taking off their foot and getting a basin of water and really washing them. Although if they need it, hey, if you can handle it, go for it. But it's the idea of serving one another. The reality is that we all, over time, step into things that we should probably avoid. And sometimes we need somebody else to walk with us to get through those things. And sometimes we need to have someone wash our feet. And that is, we're talking about serving one another. Now, all of this has been within the context of one another. Does it have implications for how we interact with people outside of the church? Absolutely. Absolutely, it does, but it also means that we are not just looking outside, but we're looking inside as well. And I'll be honest with you, okay? And this is just my heart, and I didn't even plan on saying this, but this has been a challenging set of sermons for me to preach, because my mind is always about how we grow so that the kingdom of God can advance. And when I spend a lot of time talking about inside stuff, it makes me really uneasy, because my mind and my heart and my body and everything wants to be outside impacting other people. And for us to do that here is a little bit different. Maybe for you, it's kind of like, no, that's pretty natural. I need to be thinking inside. Well, not for me. And so this is really important. But let's get back to the basics of what we are all about as a church, and that is discipleship, that we disciple one another. And if we do this one another thing really well, guess what? We'll be able to do the others very well. So let's get this right. Okay, is that cool? You guys on board with me? Fantastic. So we have a responsibility to all this, and today we're going to be tackling Ephesians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open them up. I'll have the words up on the screen behind me. But just a reminder, this is church. Bring your Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. If you got it on your phone, that's cool too. Break that out. We're okay with technology around here. So utilize it. Bring your stuff. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Now, I want you to be very open and honest with you, okay? There's a high possibility that I'm going to read something that doesn't end up being on the screen because I'm reading it from maybe a different version. If that is the case, just ignore it. It's not a typo. It's just bad translations, okay? No, I'm kidding. They're all good translations, just not the one that I typically use. Be careful. Be very careful then. This is verse 15. How you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Does that ever feel more real than right now? Goodness. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Wow. Something to consider before we go any further, before we do anything else, we got to talk about this. The first work of submission always, always begins with submitting to God first. Okay? We can't do the rest of submitting if we don't submit to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit first. Can't do that. Okay? If we don't submit to Christ, to God, to the Trinity, to God our Father, we will not be able to submit to anyone else. So let's get that out of the way right away. And I'll be honest with you, if you have not submitted yourself to Jesus, today's your day. Today's it. And I hope that you will make that decision to submit to him, to let him walk before you, and you follow and you let him lead your life. If we can't get that one right, we will not be able to do the others, okay? So this passage at its core is very practical. Very practical set of instructions for us to live, interact, and behave. And many times that behavior sometimes is really important for us as we think about all these things. So let's look at this passage. It's simple and to the point. Not a whole lot of interpretation needs to be made. So here we go. Be careful. When you hear the words be careful, what do you think about? Proceed with caution, right? Tiptoe, maybe. Don't do what you think you should be doing. I'm not sure how you think about it, but be careful. Proceed with caution. Don't just fly into situations, but proceed with caution. And then it says, be wise. Seriously, be wise. Don't be foolish. Don't play the part of a fool or to not think before you speak or whatever else might be needed there. Be wise. Where's the best place for you to find wisdom? God's Word. What book should you probably turn to? I would begin with the Proverbs and look at that passage. There's 31 Proverbs, one for every day of the month, except for February. And you have an opportunity to really get some wisdom out of that book. There are lots of opportunities for you to learn some wisdom. Make the most of every opportunity. Are there any opportunists in here? You see an opportunity, you take it, and I'm not just talking about for a good zinger, okay? You see an opportunity that is good, and you take that opportunity, and you use it for God's kingdom. Now, one of the best opportunists I have ever met is my dear friend who lives in Guatemala, Luis Martinez. the missionary down there. He is the best at being able to see an opportunity and leveraging it for the kingdom. He does that extremely well in how he interacts with people, how he interacts with businesses, how he goes about his daily life. It's, there's an opportunity. I can leverage it for the kingdom. Let's do it. Someone came down from America and went down to visit him and be a part of this team, and it happened to bring with him about two or three other nurses. So what did he do? Hey, you guys want to help out? Yeah, sure. And they were meeting people with needs all across the country of Guatemala, and it was simply amazing just because he had a conversation with them. That's the type of things that we need to be able to do and make the most of every opportunity. For the kingdom, not for our pocketbooks. That's not what we're talking about, okay? For the kingdom. And it continues, don't overindulge. Don't get drunk on wine. I think he could probably include everything else. Basically, get drunk on the Spirit, not spirits. A little play on words there, okay? All right. Paul says all these things lead to debauchery. Anybody ever looked up what debauchery means? It's a long definition. Basically, it's anything that you don't want to be doing or shouldn't be doing. That's the definition of debauchery, and it includes all kinds of behaviors, okay? So don't do that. Paul is being very blunt. When you are inebriated is when you make dumb decisions. Don't do it. Put it in normal terms, okay? It's no good. Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God. And then he kind of turns, and now he's kind of moving it to the other direction. But you speak to others with spiritual things. Okay? He specifically uses psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Speak the word of God to one another. What? We don't do that so much, do we? But we could. Maybe we should. And then it says, sing and make music, basically. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Wow. For some of us, we would be like, we don't need you to be singing. I let others do that. And you all know where I stand on that little line, okay? And it finishes with a practical commandment. Well, I forgot. Give thanks for everything. And it finishes with submit to one another. Interestingly enough, wisdom is spoken about first. It would be wise to make use of every situation to avoid getting sloshed, be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with spiritual focus, sing songs, sing praises, give thanks, and then it finishes with submit to one another. That's where we're going to be at today. That's what we're going to be focusing in on. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of what I have to say today is more about this interpersonal relationship. And I really want you guys to catch these things, because this is a really important aspect of the church that we probably don't talk about as much as we should. So my prayer for you this day has been that we will be able to take some of these things that we talk about today and we put them into practice in relationships, and we do that in different ways through the life groups that we're a part of, through when we stand out there before church starts and we are utilizing these things. We're talking and we're catching up and we're actually not just chatting, but we're investing. Okay, so the mental image, and one of the mental images that we could really take from this passage and this idea of what it means to submit, is similar to mentoring. And this would be a good thought. This is a really good thought. And someone being willing to interact with another person in a mentor-mentee type of relationship. I think you know what I'm talking about there. Sometimes it's the wise older person that just takes someone underneath their wing and says, hey, come right along. Let's talk about these things. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about work. Let's Let's be in relationships so that you can grow and I can grow. Now, more times than not, in a mentoring relationship, it's usually one person imparting wisdom to another. That's not all that Paul is talking about. He is talking about a two-way street. Now, have you ever been in a relationship where a person is mentoring you and you're mentoring them? How awesome if there was one of those. I've been in some of those, and they are fantastic. Actually, my friend from Hillside Wesleyan Church, him and I are in this type of relationship. We're friends. He benefits me. I benefit him. At least I hope I am. That's the goal. That's the hope. And so we want to be in those types of things. It's when we seek and heed advice from people that know us that we can benefit from greatly. It's where we talk and share a lot about our, not only our lives, but a lot of things that really enrich one another. Where we give thanks for the person that is sitting across the table with us, where we actually are benefiting and utilizing each other's wisdom for our individual growth. And what I see in this is the Spirit of God speaking and working in our lives, and it's an expression of the Spirit, okay? The Spirit in the original language was translated as paraclete, okay? And that means advisor, counselor, advocate, comforter. And when we are in this type of relationship where we can interact with one person and the other, it's a counselor, advisor, comforter type of relationship where the Spirit of God is active and working in our lives, and the other person is benefiting, and the Spirit of God is alive and well in this type of relationship, and it's powerful, and it's enriching. Here's some just thoughts about what it means to submit, okay? When we submit to another person, where we are willing to hear from them, where we are willing to be corrected from them, but we're also willing to give to them, we actually receive a little bit of freedom. We have freedom.
Don't understand.
We have freedom to hear and obey God. Let me say that again. When we have this type of relationship, we have the freedom to hear and obey God with the help of someone else. Have you ever thought that Jesus wants to use you to help me grow? Have you ever thought that Jesus wants to use me to help you grow? Have you ever thought that someone else sitting in this room, Jesus wants to use to help you grow? We better have this thought, because there is something that we can teach each other. There is something that you can teach someone else. There is some bit of wisdom that you can provide that will benefit somebody else. And that is only done by submitting. Allowing them to speak, allowing them to communicate, allowing them to care for you, allowing them to serve you, talk to you, care for you. And I think that's a brilliant idea, but many times we have our guard up. We think we got it figured out, and we don't. The truth of the matter is that without submitting to others, we cannot grow without it. And it's not just a suggestion. This is one of those moments where it's a command to submit to one another. And when we do that, it encourages us to walk together, and it improves the quality of our lives. It reduces arrogance. Think about that for a second. When we submit to others and we're willing to listen and hear from them, the arrogance that is built up in us reduces. We no longer think that we can do this on our own, but we know that we can't, and so we're willing to allow others to help. And it protects us from blind spots that lead to sin. I should have brought back the Johari window that we talked about in the very first week. And one of those quadrants within that window was this exact thing where many times we can know others, but we don't know ourselves. And the blind spots that we have in our lives are so evident to someone else, but because of our blindness, we can't see it. But if you don't remember what the Johari window is, that means nothing to you. And so we'll have to go back and watch the very first sermon in this series. Now, something that is quite interesting about this is that the willingness to submit is also, it's really connected to spiritual gifts and spiritual disciplines. Richard Foster, who was a guy that wrote a lot about spiritual disciplines, probably some of the best works on spiritual disciplines, just probably the best. He says this, that every discipline has its corresponding freedom. When we have practiced a spiritual discipline enough, there is something that comes along with it that is so important. And when we submit, the ability to lay down the terrible burden of always being right or needing our way is squashed. So let me put that together for you one more time. When we submit, the ability to lay down the terrible burden of always needing to get our way is the freedom of submitting. We no longer are really pushing to get our own way when we are willing to submit. Is there anybody in here that likes to have their own way right away, Burger King right now? And we all say no, because Burger King, there's a better burger around, right? But the idea is that we all like having our way. I love going to a place and ordering my burger the way that I want it to be, instead of somebody else telling me how it should be. We like to do things our way, and submitting fights that desire back. And it holds us back from those things. Dick Foth, he says this, one of the greatest plagues in society is the obsession to demand to have things the way that we want them. Only submission can free us and enable us to fight self-will. To submit at its core is voluntary. In order to submit to someone, we have to voluntarily say, you know what? I am going to humble myself enough to listen. And we voluntarily sit and listen. The truth of the matter is that people do exactly what they want to do, don't we? We want something, and so we voluntarily just go for it. Well, when we decide to submit, we're really voluntarily humbling ourselves so that we can receive what others have to say to us. Our job, our individual jobs, is to help people have different things that they want to do, to voluntarily be willing to submit. Now, what this isn't, is that it's not slavery. And what I mean by that is that to submit is what I do to me. I choose to submit. Slavery is something that someone does to you. You are never forced to submit. That's slavery, or that's forced. Other word, coercion, whatever it might be. But when we submit, we are voluntarily willing to do that. I choose to submit. The picture that I want you to have in your mind is Jesus going to the cross. The Passion of the Christ does this extremely well. If you've ever watched that entire movie, it's not for everybody, I get that. But that particular scene where Jesus goes to the cross, he is not being pushed upon it, but he willingly lays himself down. He willingly put himself there. And we need to willingly be in relationship with others to speak into our lives, to trust, to engage with, and this two-way street of interaction. Proverbs 15:22 says this, "Plans fail for the lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." And I think that that is a really good descriptor of what it means to have people in your life that help you succeed. With counsel, with someone to walk with you along the way of life's journeys and burdens. So I'm going to close with this. I really enjoy movies, and I went out looking for some of the best mentor-mentee movie relationships. So I thought I'd just share a couple of them with you, okay? Let's talk about the biggest, most important one. That is Star Wars, okay? Yoda was a mentor to everybody, okay? Lord of the Rings, Gandalf was a mentor to, and he was the person that everybody kind of went to for information, advice. Mufasa in The Lion King, he's the most wise person around, and everybody wanted to talk to him, especially his young son, okay? Let's see. If you're an X-Men fan of comic books, Charles Xavier is probably that one. Dead Poets Society. Has anybody ever watched Dead Poets Society? One of my all-time favorite movies. I think I'm the only... No, there was not a single head nod or anything. Okay, all right. The teacher in that movie is the one that everybody goes to. And I was made aware just recently that there's a movie that maybe some of you will recognize, probably our younger folks, is called Into the Spider-Verse with... Peter Parker and a young Miles Morales. And he is and this is kind of a wide range of thought here, okay? So stay with me, because the point at the end will make sense, all right? So there's a young Spider-Man who is trying to make his way in the world, but he's not quite confident in all that he is supposed to do yet. So he's seeking the help of the Spider-Man, Peter Parker. And along the way, Miles is just asking questions of how do I do this? And how do I know when I should do that? And how do I do this? And Miles is just not sure of himself, and he keeps messing up. And Peter Parker along the way just tells him at one point in time, that's all it is, Miles. It's a leap of faith. And what I need you to catch out of this is that at one point in time, here's the picture. Oh, look, go back. Here's the picture. He's standing on the side of a building because Spider-Man can do that. Okay. He's hanging out and he's looking down and he decides that what he needs to do is just jump. And he jumps off the building, and that was the turning point in his role as being Spider-Man. It's a leap of faith to trust someone else. It's a leap of faith to submit yourself to the conversation with another person. It's a leap of faith because it's not what we normally want to do, to let someone else speak to us about what we should do or how we should go about our lives or about our spiritual growth. We would much rather figure it out on our own, but it's a leap of faith for us to be willing to let someone else speak into our lives. And I think if you were to take a leap of faith, you might be more willing to submit. And when I talk about submitting, I'm really saying humbling yourself to hear and to see. So it's a leap of faith. As we close out this sermon series on one another, really, it is a leap of faith to do relationship well. But with God's help, we can do it. With God's help, we can spur one another on. With God's help, we can bear each other's burdens. With God's help, we can encourage one another. We can live in harmony, even when we don't agree on things. And that's an okay thing. There are non-negotiables. That's another sermon. But the idea is that it is a leap of faith for us to submit to one another because we all carry some baggage. We do. I do. You do. And to actually submit, to bend the knee and let someone else speak to us is humbling. And it works really good in like a life group or in one-on-one. But it has to be done. Let's pray, and we'll ask God to speak to us. Father God, thank you so very much for your continued work in our lives. The idea to submit and to really allow ourselves the vulnerability to allow ourselves to have someone else speak into our lives is scary. It's hard. It's difficult. But God, at the same point in time, we might be missing out from someone that has already lived that situation, already experienced that situation, or has some knowledge that we just don't. And so, God, I pray that we would have the wisdom to submit to others. God, and I think it doesn't always have to be someone who is older than us. Maybe it's someone who's our same age, or maybe it's someone who's younger than us, but has just a unique amount of wisdom that they can speak into our lives. God, help us with that. Because we realize more and more that we can't do this life called following Jesus by ourselves. It's not a one-person deal, but it's the body of Christ. So help us with that, God. Help us to walk in your ways. Help us to live out this idea of what it means to walk with, to submit to one another. God, if it wasn't something that was vital and important, it wouldn't be in your word. And so we need to take it seriously, because we can benefit one another. And so, God, help us with that. You are so good, and we thank you. And we realize that there have been models of this throughout history. I think in the most recent 1950s, 60s, and 70s, one of the great faith leaders in our society, Billy Graham did this exact same thing where he had people that spent time with him, knew him, and they were accountable to one another. God, help us to do that. Help each of us to figure that out. Give us wisdom in that area. We pray your hand of mercy upon us greatly today. We pray all these things in your Son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.